Over these last several months in particular, God has allowed us to have some tremendous times of corporate prayer, and we've been emphasizing that quite a bit in the last couple of years in particular. But on Tuesday night, we had the Awake America meeting here, and it was a tremendous time, by the way, and very thankful for that, very much challenged about the need of our day. But as I had the pastors coming in and was greeting them, one of the pastors said, "Well, I want you to know, since you, I was at the seminar about the hour with God," he said, "I have been doing that every day," and he said, "I have to tell you that I have had to change my schedule because it's now 2 hours a day. I can't do it in any less time." He said, "It's changed my life." Then the principal, and one of the key men that was in the Awake America meeting, the principal there with Brother Creed in the Washington, D.C. area, said, "Just want you to know that since you were in our church and talked about individual prayer and went through this, that one of our men has just been transformed. He is meeting with God." And he said, "Because of that," I wasn't there, he said, "I was out of town, but I went ahead and read the material, read the book and so forth." And he said, "It has changed my life." And I thought, you know, I need to cover this again. It's been quite a bit of time. Our corporate prayer meetings are only going to be as solid as our individual prayer. And it is vital, folks, for us to realize that we are in a, as we've been saying quite often, we're in a critical day. And God is able to work. We can access everything that needs to be accessed, but it's got to be through prayer. As Robert Law, who wrote it back in the Puritan days, wrote a tremendous book, really, on the Holy Spirit that was theologically right. It's very interesting. He said, "Prayer is a mighty instrument, not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth." And that is the key of prayer. When we pray, God then begins to move as men call like Daniel upon him, and he fulfilled the prophecy of Jeremiah there in Jeremiah chapter 29. As Daniel sought the Lord, God was able to work. As it one writer said, "Daniel would rather spend a night with the lions than miss a day in prayer." That's a good perspective. Evangelist John R. Rice, we often mention him, we're so thankful for his ministry, and Brother Himes here, his grandson, will be familiar with this. He once wrote, "I once imagined I was in heaven. Walking along with the angel Gabriel, I said, 'Gabe, what is that big building there?' 'You'll be disappointed,' he answered. 'I don't think you want to see it.' But I insisted, and he showed me floor after floor of beautiful gifts, all wrapped and ready to be sent. 'Gabriel, what are all these?' He said, I thought rather sadly, 'We wrap these things, but people never called for them.'" And it is really a tragedy. What could have been? Folks, what could have been if we had prayed? What could have been in our country if people had prayed? But praise the Lord, we don't have to live in the past. What can be by the grace of God? So I'm going to preach this message like you've never heard it before. Brand new concept. I'm not going to say another word about the fact that I've been over this material before. He just made it clear, I want you to deal with extended time in prayer. And folks, I'll guarantee you, if you've had any attack in your life, it's been on your prayer time. I mean, if there's going to be an interruption, if there's going to be something that's going to happen that you look and say, how did that occur? I can mark it. You can mark it down. It'll be either prayer or really giving the gospel. But especially prayer. That's when Satan trembles. And so we want to take a few minutes, if you'll turn with me, to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to base this quickly. I'm not going to go long here tonight, but I'm going to be emphatic. The Lord's Prayer is really the basis for the different categories that we encourage people. There's many ways to pray, many ways that I pray. But if you'd like to learn an extended time in which you seek the presence of God and walk with God and know you've been with Him and start your day when you know your heart is right, these different aspects of prayer the Lord includes in the Lord's Prayer. And the beauty of this is you don't just get stuck on intercession. There's that opportunity to revel in who God is and to walk with Him. As George Mueller said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. The beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. You know, if Christians would truly meet with God every day, folks, fears wouldn't be there, anxiety wouldn't be there, we wouldn't be paralyzed by our own weakness, we wouldn't struggle with our faith. If we would tie one day to the next day to the next day in Spirit-empowered prayer, we'd be dramatically different people. And above all that, God's will would be done on earth. So let's look at Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer. This was an answer to the disciples asking Him to teach them how to pray. This is not His prayer. This is the outline of how we should pray. After this matter, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. There's the outline. And so, I want to tonight go through a little plan that God's worked in our hearts. We originally got this from the book Hour with God. Some of the basic concepts has been changed and adapted to endeavor to try to incorporate a true, genuine meeting with God. And for a number of years, we've been teaching this. And I want to encourage you to get back on ground that maybe you have lost. Folks, you can just about look back and see the different troubles, pressures, emotional issues in your life and trace it back to when you let prayer begin to slip down. And you can look at times when you've experienced genuine faith and seen God work and had a different perspective and you had hope and confidence. You can tie that to times with God. Folks, there's no way around it. There is no other alternative. Either we spend time with God or we have to face life from a very human perspective. And my, what a set of difficulties that is. Isn't it wonderful that we can talk to God? And God made us for a relationship with Him. So let's look first, Our Father which art in heaven. We're going to look first of all at the first 5 minutes of an hour. Again, there's nothing magic about the amount of time. And the order has some real importance to it, I think you'll see here. But I want to encourage you. Now, what you see on the screen there is the daily journal of the Christ Walk Journal that has been developed. I appreciate Pastor Schultz and all the work that he has put into this. And over the years, we have been working on this. And it's very important to journal. And so you have the different incremental steps in an outline of prayer based upon the Lord's Prayer that it can be a real help to you. And so you can see that there. We have those materials out on the table if you would like to look at those. So first of all, the first 5 minutes is worship and praise. Glory in God's unique greatness. Our Father which art in heaven. I can tell you after all the years of praising the Lord, I have never gotten tired of glorying in my Heavenly Father. I'm telling you, I don't care what your pressure you're under, what situation you're facing. When you take that first 5 minutes and glory in God's unique greatness, I promise you, your whole perspective will dramatically change. Oh, to revel in who God is and to rest in Him. And I go over a number of attributes in the Christ Walk Journal. You can see there we have a number of the different names of God and the attributes of God listed out, so you can go over that. And it's important to start with the fact He's the Creator. He's the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings, folks. He's the King of Kings right now and the Lord of Lords. And allow the Spirit of God and ask the Spirit of God to enable you and bring you to the throne. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Almighty Sovereign, my friends. He is in control. He is full of majesty. He is the God that is the God of providence, in control of everything. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He will be the one that sits on the throne. Jesus Christ will be the Lamb of God. He is the author and finisher of my faith. He is the altogether lovely one. I love to think about the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the rose of Sharon, the balm in Gilead. He's the good shepherd. I love to just, if you've ever read Hines' Feet in High Places, and just to think of how the shepherd takes care of you. And I told Brother Shepherd, I can't help but pray for them every time I get to the Good Shepherd, just the name Shepherd there, so they get daily prayer during the praise time. But anyway, you go on and you have the glorious reality that He's our rock, our buckler, our shield, defense, defender. He's our fortress. He's our high tower. He's our hiding place, our foundation, cornerstone, all those comforting things that you can go over. He's my friend. He's my healer. Those have been very important to me over this last year. He is my deliverer, my savior, my redeemer. He's the God of peace. He's the God of wrath. We've got to remember that. He's the God who provides. He's the wonderful counselor. He is the comforter, the one called alongside. Isn't that wonderful? He's right there. The Holy Spirit is in us. He's immutable. He doesn't change. Mortal, infinite, eternal. He's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. Man, those just thrill my heart. And He is holy. He's righteous. He's never changed. He is pure. And because of that, I know that He loves me. He is just. He is faithful. Great is Thy faithfulness. All wisdom, truth, and knowledge comes from Him. He is filled with love and mercy, long-suffering, gentleness, patience. His grace is overflowing. His mercy is great. Folks, we got a great God. And I'm telling you, you spend a few minutes thinking about your greatness of your God, it'll change everything. By the way, that's the opposite of humanism. Humanism is the greatness of man. Man needs to get down to where he is and just revel in the greatness of our God. And that 5 minutes is not quite enough time sometimes for all of those things. You can pick and choose on that. But then go to then the second 5 minutes, waiting on the Lord. Focus on your relationship with God through the persons of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Be quiet. Be still and know that I am God. Yield to Him in this hour of prayer and expect to meet with God. Now, the whole point here, folks, is to experience the manifest presence of God. Did you know God wants to meet with you? And I'm not talking about some physical experience. I am talking about a spiritual reality. Draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you, but you've got to get the noise out of your mind. By the way, the best time to pray is right off the bat, so there's as least amount of noise as possible. But sometimes you've got to just stop and let the noise go and then get yourself ready. But it is so important for us to really focus on our God. I love to think about God the Father. Abba, Father. No one can pluck me out of His hand. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What a privilege to go to Him. And I'm so thankful that He is the husbandman. And when I'm not bearing fruit, He pulls me up. He does what has to be done. And as I'm bearing fruit, He allows trials, He prunes and purges, as John 15 says, so that I can bear more fruit. I can trust my Father. And I'm telling you, take some time to think about Him. Just be still. You got somebody that cares. You may not have had a good father, but you got a good Father now. And He loves you. He does right. The God of heaven will do right. And then to meditate on our precious Savior. We can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace in time of need, because we have a high priest that is able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Our Savior, I love this, He ever liveth to make intercession. Did you know He's making intercession for you right now? Jesus, the one that died for you. Just be still and think about that. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You can see there in those pages many of the things that I'm talking about, and it's a help there. And I like to think about the fact that when John saw Jesus there in Revelation chapter 1, he turned and he saw the lampstands on fire. That's the churches. Isn't that interesting? That's the first thing he saw. We need to realize that we need to be on fire. And then you see the presence, the fiery presence of the Son of God. And then in his hands, the stars, which were the angels or the messengers or the pastors of the church. And I always get burdened. I always take the final few moments of that 5 minutes and say, Lord, it's so good that you protect, but Lord, would you put me on fire so that the church can be on fire? Our Savior is the resurrected, glorified Lord. I'm telling you, let the Spirit of God bring you into reality of what a Savior you have. And then the Holy Spirit, don't forget him. Third person of the Trinity, meditate on the fact that he is the one that communes with us. He convicts us, convinces us. He gives us his power. He shall receive power. It's a wonderful thing. And that he gave us the revelation of the Word of God, and he illumines the Word of God. Therefore, he can guide and direct. He'll manifest the Father and the Son. He will do so many things to make spiritual realities come alive. He will spiritually gift us. He gives us the spiritual fruit of the Spirit. And he is the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of prayer. He enables us to pray. He makes intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. Just all of these thoughts are so important. He regenerates, he seals, he indwells, and he fills. Man, what a God. You don't have to think about all those things every time, but just meditate. Meditate. Let the Spirit of God bring you into reality. Sometimes those truths just leap off. And I'll tell you, after that first 10 minutes, in fact, stay on this until your heart really gets just fully right with God. And that leads us into the third 5 minutes. And by the way, you notice in that diary, write something down about each of these areas when you go through them. But we need to ask him to forgive us of our sins, and he will. If you look there in Luke, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who, as we forgive our debtors. We need to have confession of sin that next 5 minutes. You say, well, Pastor, shouldn't that be first? I'm telling you, when you first get up, you're in no place to be thorough in your confession, right? You can't even think. You got to let the Spirit of God work in your heart, start praising the Lord, and two things will happen. Number one, you'll realize very quickly what you need to confess. And number two, you're going to believe that he'll cleanse you because he's such a wonderful God. You know, it's important not only to confess, it's important to believe that he's forgiven you. You've got to leave that time with a clean heart. And we have lists there in the Christ Walk Journal of, I go through a number of things every day. I've memorized most of that about areas that I need to go over in my life and just allow the Word of God to convict me and let the Spirit of God work. And so we need to allow God to convict us of sin specifically and receive the full cleansing, thus allowing us into the presence of God. Now, folks, it is true, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 59:1-2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So we've got to deal with the sin in our life. But it's not a discouraging time. It's an encouraging time. It is a time in which you're already free of heart. Folks, honestly, if you will take the time and be thorough in your prayer and let the Holy Spirit work, you can start your day right with God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Now, there may be things you don't understand that you still have to handle. There may be issues that God will deal with you as you hear preaching as you go through the day, but there is no willful turning from God. because he's so good, because you've reveled in who he is, and the Spirit of God has been able to convict and convince you, as best as you know how, you bring that to him and you go over the different lists and just let the Word of God work in your heart, and you can just rejoice when you finish that first 15 minutes. I've got a clean heart. I'm right with my God, and he loves me. Folks, did you know that the majority of Christians give their right arm to be free of heart? Most Christians live their life guilty. We don't need to live more than a few moments guilty. If you spend time getting fully right with God in the morning, you can keep a short account all the time. You can just, boom, get that thing settled right then and agree with God. Confession is agreeing with God. I could say so much more about that. And then you notice it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I believe it has the idea of the evil one. And so you have the idea, the fourth 5 minutes is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. You're ready now. I'm telling you, it's God that wins the victory over the evil one, not you. Don't just go into resisting the devil and not be right with God. That's not a good place to be. And yet, he is a crushed foe. And so, this is an opportunity for us to take our stand by the authority of Jesus against the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them, in Colossians chapter 2, 19. And then you have, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Every time I quote that, man, I start getting excited. He's already won the victory at the cross. Satan is going to be defeated and has raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then go to chapter 1 of Ephesians, who is far above all principalities and powers, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and given to him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of all in all. And I tell you, I prayed for this church today and claimed the fact that Satan and his principalities and powers have no right to this church. Jesus Christ is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And my heart cry is that everyone would know that we're the fullness of God. I tell you what, Satan has to retreat when Jesus moves forward. And that's where it's tragic that churches are not filled with people who have had victory in their prayer time over the evil one. And as we meet together, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if peradventure God will give repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves from the snare of the devil. Folks, we need to believe that God can work. And if we'll be the servants of God we ought to be, we can claim that people can be rescued. It's not only about us being rescued. And submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished by your brethren in the world, 1 Peter 5. I believe that a huge amount of difference can occur in that fourth 5 minutes. I directly take my stand against Satan, directly, for myself. As I submit myself to God, I am in Christ. He is above the principalities and powers. I have no power. Christ has all power. I ask him to work. I ask the Spirit of God to work. And I resist the devil, and I claim the fact that he has to flee. And he does flee. I want to tell you, there's victory in Jesus. And oppression can be overcome in a moment when you take your stand with Christ. And the same thing for my family as husband and father. I ask God to put a hedge around my wife, my children, their spouses, and all the grandchildren. And I ask God to meet with them and to resist the devil. And for this church as overseer, Christ is the head, that God would put a hedge around this church, and that we would be the body of Christ, and that under our feet, which are really Christ's feet, Satan would be crushed, and the gates of hell could not prevail against it. Satan has no right to each of you. And as best I know how, I ask God to keep Satan away from you. I don't want to see any of you destroyed. And then, for the world, oh, it soureth in the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Pour out your spirit upon all flesh, that our sons and daughters would prophesy, our young men would see visions, our old men would dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens would you pour out, will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and that they may prophesy. Oh, God can do a great work in these days if we'll trust him. That's 20 minutes. That often exceeds 20. I got to tell you, I didn't make it in 20 minutes this morning. it works well. Then claiming promises. Recall the promises of Scripture that God hath quickened to your heart. Stand by faith on the ground God has given to you. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have made a list of the promises that God has given us for the different issues that of building and land and spiritual things that we've been wanting, of course, praying now, especially for this coming week and asking God to work. And there's just all these verses. And I tell you, when God quickens a verse, get it down and you claim that verse. You may have to sit on that verse for several years, but if God put that verse clearly with what you're praying about, you hold on to that. That's the word of God. And that 5 minutes is a precious time, as there are people and situations that are behind those verses, and you hold that up to God. Use the word of God as your argument for God working. And that leads then into intercession, and that is under thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in earth as it is in heaven. God wants everyone to be saved, right? He's not willing that any should perish. So we know what the will of God is on that. God wants every Christian to be perfect in Christ Jesus. We know what God's will is about that. And so therefore, intercession and petitions should be mainly about God having someone agreeing with him, praying that for him to do what he said he would, so that he can unleash his power to accomplish his purpose. Pray for the needs of others, your family, your class connections, and your top five, others for whom you are burdened, and bring your personal needs before God. You can pray for your daily bread and God will give it to you. He'll meet your needs, and then wrestle with God in intercession. In the Christ Walk Journal, there's all kinds of listings that you can have. It's really good to get in your mind and heart. I pray for all of you. I have different ways that I pray. And it's amazing, and this is a 10-minute section. Amazing how much you can get in 10 minutes. And oftentimes that'll go longer. But you can really cover. When the Spirit of God, you see, if you've had a first good 10 minutes in thinking about the Lord, and you have a true confession time and true spiritual warfare, and the promises of God are burning on your heart, by the time you get to praying for others, I mean the Spirit of God can quicken, and he'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you who to contact. He'll give you wisdom how to pray. I mean, those are very important times as you lift those that are dear to you, your family, and those that are close associates, and those that you want to be see saved, and all the Christians that you're burdened for. You would be amazed the capacity that God will give you to pray for many, even in 10 or 15 minutes. And you know you've touched God. And I just want to tell you, one of the sweetest things in the world is to hear God worked over here. Sometimes you may see a tear come down when I'm at an invitation time, because all of a sudden there's an answer to prayer. Or I'll hear something, and God did it. God worked. Because that's what God wants. You're praying God's will. Whenever you're praying for spiritual victory, God works. And I tell you, the top five and top ten of people that are lost, it's amazing what God will do. And so I can't tell you enough about how important that is. That's normally what we think of, intercession. And But I'm telling you, if you don't spend the time in the other categories prior to intercession, it will be just going down lists or just sort of laboring along. But if you're meeting with God, it'll be labor, but it'll be a different kind of labor. You'll have the heart of Christ. God will give you compassion. You'll understand what you need to pray for. It becomes a spiritual reality. And honestly, folks, you come out of that prayer and you say, God's going to do something. That wasn't me. That wasn't me. Now, I'm telling you, some days you're a little bit versus another day you may be fired up. But every day, whether you're not feeling the best or you're feeling really good, if your spirit is in connection with God, you know that God's going to work. Don't look for physical, emotional experiences. Look for spiritual reality. That's what you need. And then after that, you have another 5-minute time, and that's Thanksgiving. Thank the Lord specifically for his working in response to your prayer. Thank God for answers. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for trials. Thank God for trials. That's very important. It'll free your heart. It'll get you out of bitterness. And I like to, before I finish the Thanksgiving time, I may even thank the Lord for how he has spoken to me during the time. And I go over some of the other lists even and thank the Lord for that. And then I'll go over the past day and just remember. Oh, yeah, right at the beginning of the day. Then you did this, and then you worked, and thank you for doing that. And Lord, that's that little thing, but you did that. I'll tell you, by the end of recounting your last day, might have seemed like a normal day, but if you're walking with God, there were little touches all day long where God met with you. We need to thank him for that. And so that's so important. And then the next section is a 10-minute time. After this matter, pray ye. In other words, you need to have the Word of God in your heart, that meditation and discovery. And this is so important. And here is where you have communion with God. Read a passage of Scripture and meditate on what it means for your daily life. Take a portion of your Bible reading and let God speak to you and talk back to God about it. It's just wonderful to let to meditate day and night, like Joshua 1:8 talks about. This morning, Psalm 8:6, thou madest him, speaking of man, to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Now, there is the prophecy of Christ, but this also speaks to how we have been made in God's image, and God has put He has given us a purpose in life, and I just thought today and meditate on the fact that I need to realize I have the authority from God to do what he's called me to do, and so do you. And I can't wimp out, excuse the expression, on anything God's told me to do. And so that's one of the things that I meditated on today, and so therefore, in this time of meditation and discovery, the next session, which we'll get to in just a second, you don't need to go there on the slides, but is the matter of listening to God and to knowing his will. And it's very good to write down in the section of listening an I will statement. And basically, my I will statement was, I'm not going to shrink back from what you call me to do and some of the decisions that I need to make. And that was my I will statement for today. And what will happen is one day will tie to the next day. And so in your meditation and discovery time for 10 minutes, God will begin to speak to you. You'll speak back to God, write down all of those thoughts, and then come to put down in your listening section some I will statement. And then for the final two sections, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God is going to lead you, and God is going to do it. And so we need to take 5 minutes to listen to God's direction for today. I cannot tell you how many messages have come out of 5 minutes. Decisions to make for the church, for my family, for myself personally, people I need to talk to. Just so many just touches that come during that time. Because now you've spent 50 minutes with the Lord, and if they've been at all in communion with Him, you have a heart that's now in tune spiritually. You're not looking for some kind of bells and whistles. You just have that quiet, still voice of the Lord. And, oh yeah, well sure, that's it, you know. God gives wisdom. Sometimes I'll say, Lord, I need wisdom on this. And I may not get it directly there, but I know I'm going to get it. And I have that confidence. But so often, just listen. Listen to the Lord. You know, we don't take time to listen. Because He will speak. You've just been in His Word. You've just been praying. Let God show you steps to take to obey His Word and His leadership in prayer. And pray about your I will statement. How important that is. And then, who are you going to share it with? Who are you going to share it with? And then finally, end up, I quote, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And a lot of times I even take the whole Lord's Prayer and quote the whole thing in this final 5 minutes, because I want to get to that final section. He is going to accomplish what He said He would do and what He's put on my heart. And so end your time with God by once again praising Him for who He is and how He has led you in prayer. And it's amazing the songs that God will bring to mind, and just to sing and to rejoice and to let your heart lift. Many times those songs will just stay with you. Oftentimes this doesn't happen, but today it was How Great Thou Art. The Lord just brought that to mind as the first song this today as I was with the Lord. And so it's a wonderful thing. And I promise you that hour will go if you're really meeting with God. Now again, it's not the hour, 60 minutes. It's not the exact time of each of these categories. But this is just the overall way that you can have a significant full time with God. Now I know, I haven't really talked to very many of you, but I know that this is hard. You say, Pastor, an hour is a long time. Well, it's going to have to be something that you have to decide to do. You will have to adjust your priorities. But you know, don't you think time with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is worth adjusting our priorities? We rush out into a day and wonder why we're under so much anxiety. We wonder why we get, overwhelmed, why we get discouraged. Take time. Take time to be with God. Let Him work in your heart. Now, every day is different. Some is sweeter than others just because of we're human and we have our limitations. But I'm telling you, when you meet with God and know His presence, and that connects from one day to the next day to the next day, you will find that your Christian life stays very constant. You will grow. You will begin to have your faith increase, and you will start seeing greater and greater answers to prayer. And so you've just got to decide you're going to make it a priority. Do you know there's a lot of stuff that could go? I don't have my cell phone on me, but that thing needs to not dominate us. And we've gotten pretty technologically savvy over this COVID-19 time. It might be time to back down and give God His time. He needs air time. I promise you, the reason we don't have power today, the reason that we feel helpless in our soul winning, the reason we have struggles in our homes will always go back to the root issue of spending time with God and letting Him work in our hearts. He is ready. Can you imagine how grieved He is? He's ready to meet every need. It's not a matter, again, of X amount of time. It's a matter of meeting with God. And by the way, you can't take an hour a day and it not be spirit-filled. You just can't do it. Now, you may be a very disciplined person, but it's really, really hard to do an hour with God in the flesh 7 days a week. So I'm not really too worried that it's going to become a work sanctification issue with you. You can try to do that for 10 minutes, but for 1 hour, I'm telling you, 1 hour, and you say, well, why that amount of time? It takes time for us. It takes time for us to get into a spiritual frame of reference. And it says He is more important than anything else. You'll have to make hard choices with your discretionary time. I don't think entertainment will probably find its way into your schedule. It's a good thing. And you'll find other things. Social networking might need to, and that's a good thing. In fact, I'm telling you, if you'll trade your entertainment and your social networking for a time with God, your life will be dramatically changed. And I've had testimony after testimony after testimony of people say that's the best thing they ever did. We get so addicted and have our needs met by those areas. I do have to warn you, you have to change your schedule in going to bed earlier if you're going to get up earlier. All you millennials, Gen Zers, okay, you Gen X, you're even worse sometimes, okay? And even the baby boomers, baby busters, the whole generation, we stay up way too late and wonder why it's hard to get up in the morning. I'm telling you what, you go to bed a few minutes early and stay on a good schedule, you'll start looking forward to getting up in the morning and say, hello, Lord, I get to spend some time with you. It'll change your life. It will change your life. You say, you're pretty passionate. I am not even half as passionate as I really need to be in what I believe. It will change your life. And you're simply going to say daily, Lord Jesus, I love you more than anything else. So folks, God just wouldn't let me get away. I didn't say that I've talked about this anywhere through the message. I've preached on this, I know, a number of times here. Some of you could probably give the lesson yourself. But it doesn't mean we're having victory. Pastors know how it goes. By the way, I'm human too, and I know the pressures. But I have committed in my soul, if I can't meet with God as your shepherd, I have no business being your shepherd. And I tell you what, God gives you victory. But your life is just as important. We have a great God. You need to love him with all of your heart. We need to see revival today. God will give revival today. God will rescue our families. God will work, but we have to spend time with him. Day after day, not little jerks and times and spurts and up and down. It needs to be a subtle matter. Life is not worth living unless I am living it with the lover of my soul, the one who is life. It's the biggest battle of your life, but it's the greatest joy of your life. So I'm just giving you the message I know God wanted me to give tonight. Folks, we have the opportunity of a lifetime right now to affect our nation, but it's only going to come through prayer. Let's bow for prayer.